Great report, isn't it? Coming back from result, though, isn't it? Just tremendous to see what God is doing and how God is just taking, calling people to where His heart is. Look, it's amazing what God can do through one life. Imagine what He can do through many lives. So I'm always amazed at that. I'm always blessed to hear those stories coming back. But let's go to Ephesians if you can with me. Ephesians 2. And I want to talk about a few things that are on my heart at the moment, things that I'm going through. And I have to be very, very careful that when God is doing something in my life, it's not really necessarily that He wants it to share with everyone else's lives. You know what I mean? So you have to be very, very careful. That's, I've made that mistake a few times where, hold on, is this not speaking to you? No, it's not really speaking to you. And God is saying to me, no, that was for you, Eddie. That wasn't for everyone else. So you have to be very, very careful. But I believe that God is, you know, there's something in this that is for everybody this morning. And it's about grace and what grace is about. And what grace, the whole principle behind grace, the whole understanding of grace. The mystery, that's the word that really sticks in me, the mystery of grace. Because it is a mystery. In our nature as human beings, when someone comes and does something good for you, you get kind of, why are they doing that? And in our nature, we try and take that good gift back by going back to them and saying, now what can I do for you? And there's a type of a law there that I can't get something free. I have to earn it. And it's almost deep buried within us that we find it very, very difficult to accept a free gift. Very, very difficult. And because we can't accept that in our natural, we tend to then bring a spiritual thing into it, and then it becomes a law, and then it becomes a burden, and then it becomes all sorts of things that are very, very negative and can be very damaging to your Christian walk. So it's very difficult to bring this out and teach this, but I believe the Lord is in it, and I believe that the Lord will bless me through it. Amen? So let's start with Ephesians 2. So as for you, it says there, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them, and at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up, and here's the mystery, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that he can show His incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. This is not from yourselves. It's very, very clear. This is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Absolutely amazing block of scripture. That if we get that, and if we live by its principles, it's absolutely liberating to understand it in our lives. And when Paul was in Ephesus, I was in Ephesus a few years ago, and I think Louise shared that as well. And there was a lot of boasting going on in Ephesus. I walked down through the main street in Ephesus. It's in modern-day Turkey. And they've dug it up, you see, and it's at great expense, but it's a great tourist attraction. And they've dug it up, and they've exposed all these fantastic 2,000-year-old buildings, fantastic colonnades, Roman pillars, and fantastic frontage of these buildings, all preserved beautifully. And you walk down the streets, and the cobble that they actually walked on, and I would say that Paul walked on, literally he walked on, you're walking on, and how it was built, and to the finest degrees of exacting, all these places were built, and they were all to gods. They were all to Zeus, and they were all to Apollo, and they were all to the god Nike. There was a lot of boasting going on. It was a boast. Look at the colonnade to Apollo. He's a great god. Because look at what we have. Look at the splendor that's for him. And we worship Apollo because Apollo was great. And we boast in him. And we have our place in him. And this is what Paul is trying to counteract. That there's no boast in man. That no one gets the glory, only God. There's no boast in anything that we do. Lest man boast, it is by grace and mercy that we are saved. Turn with me to Mark, because I just want to bring this out. Mark 2, the Gospel of Mark. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I want to tell you, I want to go through a story about the whole issue of grace and why grace needs to be, we need to understand grace in our own personal lives, and we need to understand what forgiveness is all about. And the story is about a paralytic man, and he was brought to Jesus for healing. We all know the story. They couldn't get to Jesus. They dug him out through the roof and put him and lowered him down in front of Jesus. And the beginning of that man's healing, and it's the beginning of all our healing, I believe, is what Jesus said to him at the beginning. He's seen that great faith. And what did he say to the man? Son, your sins are forgiven. There's the beginning. The start. And then the dialogue erupted. Who is this man that he can forgive sins? How dare he? And Jesus says, let it be known that the Son of Man has the authority here to forgive sins. Now get up and walk. It all had to happen. Forgiveness had to come into that man's life first before he got up. He had to understand he's forgiven. He was paralyzed, if you like, in sin. Why did Jesus go? Why did he say, oh, I see you have palsy, or I see you have this, or I see you have that? Why was the issue sin? Why is Jesus talking about sin? Why is Jesus talking about, why is this teaching brought out here? Why did he say to him first? Why didn't he say, like he did before, get up and walk and now your sins are forgiven? He said, no, your sins are forgiven. Now get up and walk. And there's sin causes a paralyzing effect in our lives when we don't understand that our sins are forgiven, or that we live in our sin, or that we are caught up in sin. And all of us, before we come to Jesus, do understand that I know in my own personal life the effects that sin has had on my life and has on other lives. It can be expressed in many different ways. For me, it was expressed through addiction and through drugs and drink and all that kind of excesses of life. For other people, it can be other issues, unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred towards other people, not letting things go. All these things have a paralyzing effect on us. They cause us to stand still. We can't move on. I, over the years, many times dealing with people about the issue of unforgiveness, I cannot forgive that person. And because they can't forgive that person, they can't understand forgiveness for themselves. He who forgives much. But he who does not know forgiveness can't forgive anybody. He's paralyzed, standing still, can't move on. And so the whole principle of understanding this, I believe, is in Mark 2 there, is that Jesus said to this man, you must understand that you're forgiven. You have to understand that you're forgiven. Now get up and walk. There's a whole principle behind that. There's a whole understanding behind that. And I'm going back to Ephesians there, that in our hearts, there's a nature within us. Like, I have two dogs at home, two little pups, and they're stone mad. Right? They're just crazy. Like, I think one of them has ADHD or something like that. He's just crazy. The other fella, he has his own difficulties. One fellow has ADHD and the other fellow has his own difficulties. And they're just crazy. And when the door knocks, see, it's their nature, they're two dogs. When the door knocks, mayhem. Mayhem. Boom, 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 boom. And if you grab them, you might, Vicky grabbed one of them, I grabbed the other, and you're holding, and they're still barking. When you're holding them out, they're barking inside. You can still hear them barking, even though you have their mouth closed. Shut up, shut up. Because they can't help it, it's their nature. And Paul says that there, he says about the nature, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. Because it's in us, our nature is to sin. We were naturally born sinners. It's a controversial issue nowadays, people don't like to hear that. Don't like to hear that. Oh, you can't say that. But it's right through the Gospels. It's right through the New Testament. We are not, it's in our nature to sin. It's like that dog, he can't stop barking. We couldn't stop sinning. It's just in our nature. It's natural to us to sin. And Paul recognized that. And he said that we used to live in that place where we just naturally sin, moving out of our sinful nature, paralyzing effect. Can I say that forgiveness for me anyway, personally, was a miraculous thing. It wasn't a natural thing. I held a lot against a lot of people. And I used to get relief from that bitterness through substances. I hated people, literally hated people. I blamed one particular person for everything. And then in turn, then I had my hierarchy of blame. You know, that's the main one. And all of them are this gang. People that are very, very close to me. And you have this thing of hatred, blame, bitterness. And when the Lord got a hold of me, I was living in that sinful nature. Automatically hating people, automatically unforgiving people, automatically being bitter against people, automatically blaming people, never looking at me. And I was living in that natural place, that sinful place. And then God got a hold of me and said, Eddie, and it took him a while, you'll forgive him. And I remember a fellow saying to me one day, a counselor saying to me one day, he said, Eddie, I've been listening to you for a while. And my goodness, you've some list. So let's talk about your list. What are you talking about? Let's talk about your list. Let's talk about all the things you've done. Let's talk about him, let's talk about her. Now let's, just for a minute, let's talk about your stuff. And I'm very uncomfortable, I don't want to go to them places, but I realized over a period of time, I'm responsible for that. And then he said to me, and God has forgiven you for all of that. He doesn't hold it against you. And all of a sudden, penny dropped. If I'm forgiven, how can I hold it against them? Who am I? And it's a miraculous thing. It's a mystery. It's mystical. It's not something that you just pick up off the ground. It's not something that someone can give it to you. Hey, there's a piece of paper. There you can go and forgive people. It's a mystery how we're able to do that. Why? Because we are forgiven and we understand that. And he says it there that you were dead in your transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up in the salvation, in the saving. Because I have been saved. Now all of a sudden I'm in a plateau where I can say, I don't hold it against you. I can let you go. I can let that go. And all of a sudden I'm not paralyzed anymore. All of a sudden, I'm getting off that thing that kept me down. I said, I don't hold it against you anymore. I don't hold it. And I'm moving on. And it's by grace that I have been saved. Nothing of me. I didn't figure it out. It was a mystical thing that God says, you're forgiven. Now, once I understood that, I said, oh, I can't. I'm letting it go. I'm letting them go. And the freedom and the liberty in it was an amazing thing for me. Life began, for me, my Christian walk began the minute I got that. And I started to understand that it's by grace that I am saved. And if it's by grace that I am saved, then it's by grace I forgive you. Nothing else. But I'm not waiting for you to apologize. Remember, a fella said to me one day, he said, "Hey, I'm willing to forgive." He says, "Oh, brilliant, yeah." He said, "I'm going home this weekend. But I'm going to make it them all to apologize. And then but I'm willing now." So no, that's just not the way it works, pal. And it isn't the way it works. It's by grace I forgive you. By grace I forgive you. It's a mystery. It's the power of God. I don't boast in that. If it was me, and I was a boasting, and I was building a big colonnade to Apollo, get on your knees and say sorry, then I'll forgive you. That would be me now in my nature. But God says, no, you're forgiven in grace. It's by grace I forgive you. There's the mystery. There's the challenge. It's by grace I let you, because grace has saved me, it's grace now that I let you go. And there's the challenge. I told you it's difficult, didn't I? Didn't I tell you it's difficult? Because we all want solutions. We all want ABCs. We all want the easy thing about it. But at the end of the day, when Paul says there's no boast, there is no boast. See, look, it was a real throwaway remark. I say, by grace, lest any man boast. I tell you, that boast is a big word. Because it's in our nature to boast about things. And when there's no boast, it's grace. Like that fella that I was talking about, he wanted to come back with a boast. Yeah, he got them all to crying and they're all saying sorry to me. It's a boast. Instead of him saying, "No, we don't want any apology, I'm forgiving." By grace that we are saved. And then it says there, it says, the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. I'm really struggling to find and try and understand that. And his incomparable riches. And I was seeking God about this and looking at this and saying, there's no real explanation to this. And God just put him, it's a mystery. It's a divine mystery why God is doing this. It's unexplainable. Why God, in 1995, while I was in the height of my transgressions, I remember a Christian lady came to me. I was up robbing up in Thomas Street, strung out to the neck, robbing handbags up in Thomas Street. She came up to me and asked me, did I want to go to church? I half followed her down the road to rob her. A week later, in my transgressions, a week later, a man walks into my house and says, "Jesus loves you." 2 weeks later, I'm in a treatment center, and another man is telling me, "Jesus loves me." A week after that, a fella's laying hands on me, and I'm being set free, left, right, and center. And today, you see me. But it was in my transgressions that he reached out to me. He didn't turn around and say to me, "When you get perfect, come back to me." It's a mystery. Why did he do that? In the natural, it's like, hold on a minute, get yourself sorted out and then come back and sort you. No. When we were in our transgressions, God in his amazing capacity, I don't know what words you can put on it. It's just an absolute mystery that why God would take Stephen, would take Noah, would take Sharon, would take all of us and say, "I forgive you." And it's just a free gift. I don't want anything back. I don't want you to do anything. I don't want you to boast about anything. I don't want anything back off you. I just give it to you. It's a gift. You don't deserve it. You have done nothing to get it. It's just a gift. I give it to you. It's by the gift of God and his amazing riches that he's able to do that. Just give you a clean slate. All my sins, past, present, future, white clean, gone. Amen. No more. I don't have to pay for this anymore. I don't have to pay for something I already own. Now, we've all gone, that's an amazing principle. Now here's the rub of it. Here's the rub of it. Because it says that We have a saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. I really need to, I'm going to stay in this for 5 minutes and I'm going to finish. Not on yourselves, because that's a big statement. It is the gift of God. You know what not on yourselves does? It brings in the religious spirit. And Sharon will tell you, Noel will tell you, Louise will tell you, people on the prayer lines will tell you, the amount of times that people come up and we say, is any issue, and I'll say, is any issue that I'm going to pray for? I don't believe God loves me anymore. I believe God's angry with me. God doesn't want to know me. God's not interested in me anymore. Now, me and God have fell out. And the crazy statement is, me and God have fell out. And they're dead serious, like. God's angry with me now. And all of a sudden, that religious spirit starts creeping in. Where you can't accept the gift anymore. It has to come with a working from me. I have to add to it. I have to pour onto it. I have to say, God gave me free forgiveness, but I prayed on my knees for the last 18 hours. So, yeah, God gave me the gift, but I have given him something. But then what happens is, we're driving down the road, and this has happened to me, and I'll admit it. We're driving down the road, and the clutch falls out of the car. Why is God angry at me? What did I do? What happened? Let me trace my steps back. You know what it was? Last Tuesday at 4:30, I didn't have my Bible devotion. Now the clutch is hanging out of the car. That's it. That's it. Now, we might have a laugh and a giggle at that. But if you keep persisting in that, if you keep persisting in that type of stuff, they walk away from the church. Why would you want to be around a God like that? How would you fall in love with a God like that? Where's the riches, uncomparable riches in that? There's no uncomparable riches in that. That's a very pure effort to try and reach people. Yeah, I'll be your God if you serve me now on your knees. And I need you to pray. There's nothing wrong with praying, guys. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with devotions. But when it's done in a motive of, now God loves me, it's wrong. I don't want you to do any of that. I want you to pray a minute a week if it's done unto love. Because it always ends in disaster. And it always ends with people walking away from the church. This religious spirit, not of yourself. Not of yourself. You have nothing to add to it, nothing to distract from it, nothing to give to it, nothing to put onto it, nothing to cause favor, nothing. Nothing. Please, if we get that this morning, if Eddie Gregory gets that, if you get that this morning, you have nothing to do with what God is doing in your life by his grace and his mercy saving you. You have nothing to do with it. No matter what you do, no matter how much you pray, I'm going to be, because this goes against the grave people. Because there's lots of holy people out there that be angry with me. Hold on, look what I do. And I'm taking that away from them and they don't like it. It's very uncomfortable. Nothing that you do, absolutely nothing. If you're a prayer warrior of 7 hours a day, if you're doing working that soup kitchen, doing that, even I'd say to you, going to Lesotho, has nothing to do with grace. Nothing. And if you get that, then your prayer life will go through the roof. Your walk with God will go through the roof, because it's a walk of pure love and acceptance. It's a walk that I know God loves me even when I get it absolutely wrong. I know that God is with me. For the last, guys, I'm telling you, I'm living this. I'm after having it 2 years in my life. My life is turned upside down. And the only constant in this that I've kept saying to me over these last 2 years, I know God loves me. And my goodness, I've got it wrong. But the only constant that I could say to myself, the anchor that was keeping me pinned was that God loves me. I know he loves me. He loves me. I know he loves me. That's all I kept saying to myself. Even that when it was in the nature, I would I wouldn't blame God for kicking me to the touch, for kicking me to the core. Wouldn't blame him. But no, he doesn't. He says, Eddie, this is where I'm the strong. In your weakness, I'm strong. And I'm learning and have learned an understanding of my Father in heaven. That he loves me. He loves me. He doesn't stop loving me. His love doesn't grow. His love doesn't diminish. It's a mystery. From his riches in Christ Jesus, God loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And I believe that that's what we need here this morning. I believe that that's what everybody needs. Is to understand that the Christian message is the good news. Not the bad news. The good news. Bad news, say, I want you. Imagine, I'll finish with this. I know I'll say this to you. Imagine me and us setting up this church, right? With all the expenses that goes into it, all the commitment that goes with it, all the heartache that goes with it. Set up this commitment, set up this church, invite people in. I want them to hang on to a message which says that, ooh, God is going to get you. Ooh, be careful. Lightning bolts from the sky, clutches falling out of cars. Put your toy in that basket. I don't want to be a part of that like that. That's not the gospel. God doesn't love you anymore. God doesn't want you anymore. God's not interested in you anymore. That's coming from a religious spirit. And it's birthed in us. God does love you. Always loves you. Never stops loving you. His grace and his mercies are new every day. He never leaves us. Never forsakes us. He is against a religious spirit. He hates a religious spirit. It's demonic. He loves us. He cherishes us. He gave his son for us. He spilled the blood on the cross for us. He never gives up on us. Never fails us. Never, 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 never. It's a divine mystery. Don't try and figure it out. Don't try and figure it out. It's a divine mystery. Don't try and put your finger on it. Don't try and say, well, I deserve that. It's a divine mystery, but it's true. I was talking to a very close, finished this, very, very close person to me in my life. And he said to me, and he's getting on in age now. And he said, he's been going to a certain church all his life. I won't say the denomination, but he's gone to a certain church all his life. And he got offended. Or there's an offense given when I made a statement that I know I'm going to heaven. He was offended with it. You don't know that. That's a religious spirit. That's a religious spirit. Got offended by that. You don't know that. How dare you say that? It's sinful to say that. I am going to heaven. Nothing that I do. I'm going to heaven because of grace. Nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. And that's the gospel. And that's the good news. And if that doesn't excite you, I don't know what we do after that. Father, thank you for your word. Your grace and your mercies are new every morning. We are abounding in love. Lord, you love us. You've called us in our transgressions. You saved us. How much more now, Lord, that we are in you, Father. Bless this word, Lord. Father, would we grab it? Would I grab it? Would Eddie grab it, Lord? Would Eddie not let a religious spirit come on him again? Even though it tries, would Eddie not let it? Would Eddie not, Lord, let the law creep in? Father, would we... will be living freedom, for who the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, will we live in that freedom? Father, would we be born again, Lord, out of our sinful nature, and now be a slave to righteousness? Just as the dogs bark when the door knocks, my nature now is to do the right thing. My nature is to love now, because Christ is in me. My nature is to be compassionate because Christ is in me. My nature is to forgive now because Christ is in me. My nature is to love because Christ is in me. Father, would we live in that? Father, would we do the works that you have prepared for us to do because we're in the right place with you? Works that are good and pleasing to you, Lord. Works that are done out of a place of love, not of servitude. Father, would we live in that place? Father, would we go back and would we study, Lord, Ephesians 2, Lord, and make it a part of our lives, Lord? If anybody needs prayer, please come up. The worship team want to come back. Come on up to the front and we pray. But listen, guys. It's the good news, isn't it? Let's stand. Are we not excited?
Yeah.
Are we blessed?
Yeah.
Are we filled with the Spirit?
Yeah.
There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are where? In Christ Jesus. Anybody that feels condemned, come on up. Anyone that feels guilty this morning, come on up. Anyone that feels they can't shake off guilt or shame, come on up. Amen.